So today, I set aside today specifically in my mind thinking about vision and what is, I suppose, the vision of the church. And as I sort of got into that and started to think about just some of the things that God has been speaking to me about, I really felt, because often when you think of vision, it's often very program-based. It's like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do this year. And I really felt this, what I want to share today is more almost a prophetic picture of what I see as what God wants to do with us this year. Not so much about programs, because I think when the tree's healthy, it grows, right? So, you know, when the tree's healthy, it produces fruit. So the idea is that if we're healthy as a church, then all the programs and all the activities that we do are almost a byproduct of a healthy church. And so I just want to talk about, the picture that I had and some of the things that God has been talking to me about. But I am interested, as we've been fasting and sort of getting into this season, can you think, and even as you've gone into this year, have you got a word or a thought or a picture that feel like God's given you that says, hey, I want you to think about this or I want you to think about that? Has someone got something? So if you don't have something, it's going to be really embarrassing. Just make something up. No, don't do that. But is there something, is there a word or a thought or a picture or just a theme, if you like, where you feel like God's just challenging you on this year? So don't all speak at once. His presence. Yeah, cool. Yeah. This would be a good time to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to think about this year? Yeah. Yeah, good. What were they? Yeah, good. What were the three S's you had? I really like that. Stretching, yeah. Strengthening. Secure, good. Cool. Miracle maker, I love that. Yeah. God's pretty clever in the sense that you might be thinking now, what is that thing? But it's probably the type of thing that keeps coming up for you, something that's reoccurring, something that's like, oh, this theme or this thought keeps coming to mind. When I read stuff, it seems to be the thing that I'm focused around. Yeah, Kev.
Yeah, I haven't had that word, but in a sense, that's what I was talking about.
A couple of words, yeah. Yeah, it's. I always think about, when I think of consistency, I think about, you know, the Bible uses a lot of kind of these pictures of what godliness looks like, and it's always like this idea of an athlete going into strict training and actually being consistent with their regime and their training and just staying the course, and if you do that, then you actually bear fruit. So, yeah, it's good. I like it. Yeah, go.
My word is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, yeah. Presence, God with us, yeah. Ken? That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And then I looked up and Jesus is the layer on it.
Yeah. It's good, Dee. Lord, I'm looking for a sign. Good. Awesome. Well, I pray that really God does lay things on your heart that you can focus on, that you can dwell on, and that you can build on. So as I was thinking about today, I put the first slide up. I suppose the theme for me has been around water. And specifically around the idea of baptism. It seems to come up a lot for me, and so I want to talk about not just baptism as an event, but what does it mean to enter the waters or into the waters of baptism? What does that look like, that? What is that experience like? While baptism is an event that we go through, I feel like it needs to be a picture of what we live in. We live in the baptism of God. We live in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We live in the baptism of Jesus. When we look at the Bible, water holds significance right throughout the Bible, symbolizing life and cleansing and renewal. And when we think about water, it quenches our dry thirst. It cleanses and refreshes. It washes away grime and weariness. It revives our body. It restores our soul and empowers us. And I just love that psalm, and we read it all the time, Psalm 23, this idea of that he leads me beside quiet waters and he restores my soul. There's something therapeutic, spiritually. There's an encounter that happens when we think about water, and it's central to, I suppose, this picture of baptism. But I love this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 17. It's going to be up on the screen here. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water, then sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in any year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Isn't that awesome? There's a picture, if you like, of a tree planted in water. This idea that it's stable in trials, it's fearless in adversity, it's spiritually nourished by the Spirit and by God through the water, it's productive in all seasons, and it's free from anxiety. It's just this is God's vision for our church. It's a place of renewal. And water is the place. It's a powerful place of restoration, revitalization, and renewal. And it's just not just for our physical bodies, but also for our spiritual bodies. This is God's heart for you and me, that we go through a process of renewal this year. And we've all, and I was thinking about this, I heard this quote at the start of the year, and it said something like, don't let it be another year, let it be a new year. And I'm like, that is the heart for me. I don't just want to do what I did last year. I don't want to get to the end of this year and go, oh, I just went to work and I went to church and I had the same routine and had the same conversations. I did the same thing. I want to walk out of 2025 with this sense that something happened to me this year that's different. Something happened. God did a work. God changed me. He moved me. I'm not the same. I don't carry as there. I'm not the same person in my trials. I'm not the same person in adversity. I feel like I'm being spiritually nourished by the Spirit. I seem more productive. I feel like I've got less anxiety than I used to have. I'm not sure we'll ever be totally free from anxiety until we get to heaven. There's something about, you know, that we're anxious, but we pray and the peace of God comes, the Bible says. But there's something different about what we're going through. And we see this picture of renewal and water right through the Bible. In Genesis 1, water was played a central role in the creation story where the Spirit of God moved over the waters, bringing order and life. In the Red Sea and in the Jordan River crossings, when the people of Israel came across, we see water making this significant idea of deliverance and new beginnings. This picture of right through the Bible. So we see it, that order and life and deliverance and new beginnings. And then Jesus encounters this woman at the well in John 4 and says, whoever drinks the water will soon become thirsty again. This water, this natural water. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling string within them, giving them eternal life. The Spirit of God that works within each one of us is going to quench every desire that we ever have. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of life I want to see happen. I want to see this sense where we're quenched by the resource of heaven and the move of God in my life, so I'm not thirsty for anything else. I'm not hungry for anything else. We're fully satisfied with what God has given us. And Paul says, you know, I've learned to be content in all circumstances through his relationship with Christ. It's a beautiful picture. So I wanted to share a video with you. Has anyone seen the Jesus Revolution movie? Yeah. It's basically a film that depicts an incredible movement of God during the Jesus movement in the 1960s. And in one of the most moving scenes in this, we see a group of people being baptized in the ocean. Their faces are full of joy and emotion. There are some crying and some smiling, but all are experiencing the profound power of God in that moment. They are immersed in the water. And you see their old lives symbolically washed away and they are raised to new life, a sense of renewal in God. And I've got to tell you, every time I watch this, it brings me to tears. I feel like when I see it, it sort of solidifies what's important to God. It kind of brings everything down to this moment of encounter with God through the waters of baptism, the burying of the old life and coming up into the new life, this sense of renewal and change. And for many of us, we've experienced baptism, but not just once, this ongoing sense of renewal. So I just want us to watch this. And I hope you, in the same way today, you catch God's vision of renewal just through this picture of the water of baptisms.
I'm just saying, why is it going to prove?
Right, it's just water. Why are you freaking out?
I'm not freaking out. Okay, I'm freaking out a little bit.
You're going to be fine.
You fully accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes, I do.
You'll see. died, right?
Yeah.
I've been praying for this moment since I first met you. Have you decided?
I don't know.
You want to decide right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And pray with me.
Lord Jesus,
I know I'm a sinner.
Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner.
But you are the Savior of the world.
You are the Savior of the world.
I ask you to come into my life.
I ask you to come into my life.
I repent from my sins.
I repent from all my sins.
And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, my God and friend.
And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, my God and my friend.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Greg,
I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Powerful, isn't it? It's kind of this sense of joy and sense of freedom. And this is God's heart for his church. We are full of his freedom, that we are made alive through Christ. If you just go to the next slide, I want to read this quote from an early church father who said, "The glory of God is a living man. The glory of God is a living man, and the life of man consists of beholding God. Taking hold of all that God is for us." Another way of saying it is the glory of God is man fully alive. A man fully alive, this sense of, means to walk in the fullness of who God has called us to be alive in Christ and be radiant by his presence and his love and the life that flows from that. And this is the picture. Baptism is a picture of renewal. It's being dead to sin and alive to God. It's putting sin and our life in its perfect place and coming alive to what God has for us. If you go to the next slide, I want to read to us Romans 6, 1 to 11. It kind of contrasts this idea of the old way and the new way. The way we used to live and the way now we are. The promise, you know, the life that we used to live in and now the promise that we have in God. It says this, "What shall we say then? Are we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can if we who die to sin still live in it? We don't live in the old way of life. We don't live in the old way of doing things. Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ, Jesus? We're baptized into his death. We who were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in his death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in his resurrection like this. We get to, because Christ lives in us, we contain who he is, and what's going on for him is going on for us. We died and we came alive to Christ, and we're renewed by him. We know that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. I want you to see these words about being setting free and the life that we have in Christ and the renewal that takes place through identifying with what Christ went through. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So you, that's me, and you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. We are alive to God. And baptism is this act of transformation. It's the death of the old way. It's leaving behind sin and the old nature. It's the burial of the past. We don't allow our past to determine our future because it's done. There's a new life in Christ. Letting go of the things that weigh us down. And it's a resurrection into the new life. Emerging from the waters is a life empowered by the Spirit. This is a picture of personal transformation. We keep falling back into the old ways, but we can keep stepping back into the new life that God has for us. We cannot cling on to what's lifeless. We must allow ourselves to be renewed by God. And we experience this by, we've got to die to the old things and live in the new things. We've got to leave behind the old mindsets that hinder our growth and our purpose and break free from complacency that limits our movement in the Spirit. We can become so laid back and so laissez-faire about everything, and God wants to encourage us to be intentional about our relationship with him and our walk in the Spirit as he renews us, each one of us. It's nothing like being around a person who's on fire for God. They can be completely annoying but beautiful all at the same time. You know, where everything is just so amazing. You know, and they're trusting God and their faith is heightened. And in that moment, you're thinking, you are really annoying me because that's not where I'm at. But on the other hand, there's a sense of excitement that dwells within us that says, I want to live free like you. Something about the fire of God and the renewal that God puts us through that excites us. Because it excites us because we get a picture of what our true identity is. We go, you know what? I'm not meant to be bound. I'm not to be tied up. I'm not meant to be complacent. I'm meant to be passionate. I'm meant to be hungry. I'm meant to be excited about the things of God and about my life because Christ is in it. And God wants to take us on this picture of renewal where he cleanses us and refreshes us in every way, that the church will be washed by the Spirit of God. And we step into it. You know, baptism is also a call, not only a personal transformation, but it's kind of this call to mission. It's kind of this idea, and we read in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is not just a personal experience, but it's also a call to mission in the world. You know you're on the mission when people are getting baptized. You know, you look at that picture up there of that movie, and if you were out there on that beach, the only difference between that movie and what we could experience is the fact that that guy would be riding an e-bike rather than a pedal one. But everything else, we could be standing on the shores and seeing people baptized. Everyone around would think, you know what, something is going on there. Something is happening. God is at work. People are being changed. People are being passionate about their relationship with God. I don't know, I want to see that picture. When the church steps into the waters of renewal, and not just we experience it, but the people around us experience it. There's a baptism of fire that comes through the church. A renewed church that goes out and brings transformation, invites other people to be involved in it. If you go to the next slide, you know, this, the Holy Spirit is the key to any renewal. We can't do it in our own strength. It's not something, it's not hype, it's not something you're going to, you know, doesn't matter how many worship songs you sing. Unless the Spirit of God is doing something and working in our life and working, there's no change to be had. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, that picture again, every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. There's the Spirit of God is the thing that breathes on us. It's the thing that gives us life and renewal. And as we walk in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, and we create a mindset or a life where the Spirit of God is at work, then we will be renewed. Look, our renewal is not going to come through programs. It's going to come through the power of the Spirit, hosting the Spirit of God. This is how the church was birthed. Fresh outpouring of the Spirit, and bang, church went out. This is for us. Tozer said, when the church is alive in the Spirit, the world will take notice. Something will happen in our hearts. So I just want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray that the Spirit of God comes through our church in such a dynamic way that things change. You know, this year, I know that we've got a few places where a prayer in our church, and some of you would have seen in the WhatsApp group, and I encourage you, because I'm convinced that a praying church will be renewed when we spend time praying and we spend time worshipping and repenting and experiencing the presence of God, then things begin to change. In May, we're going to run a conference called Encounter Conference, and we're going to just spend some time in a place of renewal. It's going to be a Saturday afternoon, night, and Sunday. And it's really just a place where renewal happens. I feel for me, as I see that picture of baptism, I just feel like God's calling me and as a church to lead us back to that place of renewal, that transformation and change. You know what my prayer is for you this year? That every single person in this church will baptize someone. Whether it be a friend or a family member, a neighbor, a random. You might be just walking along the beach. And all of a sudden you're in the right place at the right time. But I feel like there's a sense where God doesn't want us to just experience baptism, but he wants us to partake in it for others and experience that. And so I pray that for us. But it starts with us, starts with this journey of just going, you know what, Lord, I just want to say I'm ready. The question is, will we step into the waters of transformation? Let me just say that if you're happy with where you're at you won't walk into the water. If you're content with where you're at, then you won't. But I feel like God has something more for you. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would continue to move in our midst this morning. You would be the catalyst of any change that happens in us. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd baptize us in your Spirit again today. For each one of us, Lord, we welcome you to come and immerse us in the fullness of the deity of Christ. Lord, if there's something that we're missing, something that we haven't understood, Lord, I pray that you would clarify those things for us this morning so that we can enter a season of great desire and hunger. Lord, we don't just want it to be another year. We want it to be a new year, a year of renewal. And Lord, I ask that every single person here would not just be baptized, but be a baptizer. I ask that you would interrupt our everyday life with moments of transformation. I pray that we'd step out of our diaries and agendas and program, that we would be willing to step into maybe some things that you have for us. Disrupt the natural, Lord, so that we can experience the supernatural. Lord, for those of us who doubt, and we all doubt at different times about what, and sometimes we have fear, and I just pray and thank you, Lord, that you don't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. We know fear doesn't come from you. We know anxiety doesn't come from you. So, Lord, we step in to what you have for us in great faith, knowing that you are there, that you are with us, and that's enough. Lord, I pray you'd remove any obstacles to our renewal this year. Lord, I pray this would just be, there'd be a blessing of unity over our church as we hunger and thirst for the righteous things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.